You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you a new behind-the-scenes podcast from our Transform Masters program. Tara Bradbury is one of the most well-respected authorities in the area of business development in property management. So when we saw that doubling the rent roll was on the wish list of our Transform Masters, it was time for us to give Tara a call. In this session, Tara talks about her background, how she became an award-winning BDM, where her best lead sources are, plus a little sneaky peek at her six-week BDM growth action plan, which was given to the Transform Masters crew as an exercise to complete. This program will be launched to the public shortly, so if you want to grow your rent roll, check back at Tara's website, bdmacademy.com.au, or email Tara directly, tara@bdmacademy.com.au. Meanwhile, enjoy the session with Tara.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent, with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
So good morning, everybody. My name is Tara Bradbury and I'm the director of the BDM Academy. I think it's wonderful that there is a few faces online today that I do recognise and have had the pleasure of meeting in the last 4.5 years since having the Academy, which is wonderful. It's great to see you're a part of the Transform program and also to meet some new faces as well. To give you, I guess, a quick bit of a brief background and rundown of my role and how I got involved in the business development side. I actually started my real estate career straight out of high school and went into a role of reception. And then as part of that, I was also refereeing and umpiring soccer at the same time and had a bit of a career path journey on both sides. I found that for anyone that follows female sport in general, that it's not a highly paid area to be involved in. You do it for the passion, not for the income, that's for sure. But got to do some reasonably top level games, got to referee the Australian women's football team, which was wonderful, and get involved in that at the Youth Olympics Festival. So certainly got some great perks, but then made the decision to go down the path of furthering my real estate career. So I let go of that side and refereed for 10 years. And I found that a lot of the traits that I had experienced from my refereeing career, I was able to bring into real estate as a whole, whether it was involved as a property manager or also as a BDM. So the first business that I worked for, I found that in the very beginning, I really kind of wanted to do things differently. I was going along to training at that time. Really, the only training that was made available to us was through the REIQ. And that, you know, kind of training and opportunity there was probably more legislation based, but there were still different ideas and concepts around what you could do to improve on yourself and also the business. I worked in an office where handing out keys to prospective tenants was the norm. And they would go off, they would go into the property, they'd bring the keys back. We would never really check the property. Thankfully, those days are gone. However, I do still hear a few officers that are doing it. And I was kind of in a bind of, do I stay in real estate or not? Because I always wanted to go into sales and become a sales rep. But had a lot of fear around going into a commission-only role. I was then, after 3 years into that career, approached by Jade, who had at the time Wide Bay Prestige Properties. And she asked me to come across and be involved in running a portfolio, which at the time had about 85 properties. She was in need of a new property manager and has said to me, if I can assist with that first for the first 6 months, then she'll help me transition into sales and we'll work out a plan as to how that can work. She had been watching what I was doing in the other office and thought that I'd be exceptional at sales and wanted to help me with that growth path. So given that Jade's only a couple of years older than me, I thought, yep, she's the right person to be working with. She has the same vision. We went along to a training session on the Gold Coast, and it was the first time I heard about BDM and decided that would be the growth model for myself, and basically didn't hold back. So my strongest month throughout my BDM career was 30 properties in 1 month, and the biggest year of new business signed was 268 managements in 12 months, which is just ridiculous. And it certainly did not happen overnight. In fact, it didn't happen in the first year of being a BDM. This would have been the third year, and certainly into more of the fourth year of being 100% active as a BDM. So it was a lot of involvement around quite a few of the key areas that are involved in this 6 week plan, and remaining consistent was the biggest thing, and focusing on the daily ritual side. So that's a bit of a fast track with my background, and hope that kind of gives you a visual as to what I have had as an involvement in the real estate industry. I was fortunate enough to work as an active agent for 10 years. I still hold a full real estate license now in Queensland. Undecided what I'm going to do with it, but I just keep renewing it at this stage and we'll see what happens. But I'm really enjoying the training side now, and work with clients across Australia, New Zealand, and now we've opened up US coaching as well, and have started working with clients over there, which is really cool. So interesting to see what they're doing in their market. Completely different markets though in the US compared to Australia and New Zealand, but certainly a lot of similarities in comparison. For me, what I would like to see everybody focus on, whether it is yourself directly or you have BDMs that are working underneath you, is to encourage mass amounts of accountability. So we have been running this 6 week program for the last 4 weeks, and I've just copied a few of the results over to kind of run through with you today of things that can certainly be achieved with that heavier accountability. We had one of our members that had started the month with 3 properties signed. They are now up to 17 for the month, with a net growth of 16 at the moment. So they've only got one that's in the lost category at this stage. This particular business has actually, since February, had a net growth of 76 managements, which I think is an exceptional result given today's market, wherever you are based across Australia and New Zealand. The net growth side is such a strong factor, because we do lose so many to sales. We do lose them to owners moving back into properties. So making sure that you've got heavy growth coming in to ensure that you can counteract the properties that are dropping under the radar as well. And sometimes they're ones obviously that are completely out of their control. So we want to make sure that we can reduce it by having no mismanagement, and then having the rest that we focus with on in churn. So some of the key areas that I found that the members have found very successful in week one, and I'll just briefly run over them and then we'll jump straight into the 6 week program, is private investors and tenant applications they've been getting lead generation from, current landlords, tenants, and also the tradespeople. So we'll expand on that a bit more as well. For those of you who have sales businesses, auctions and open home attendee list has been very valuable, and also attending the auctions and open homes as well, and having marketing there, having banners there, having branding there, having a very strong, we have an investment arm presence at those events, even to the point of some of them that they're PM only based businesses, they are doing it with sales based businesses and they are a part of that. So you've got one brand here, say Beck, who's got LJ Hooker and me, Prestige Properties. Say Beck's just got a full sales business. I've then gone in as the BDM, created that strong relationship with her. She's still running the auction as LJ Hooker, but she's had Prestige Properties there with my banners and everything, promoting what I do on an investment level, because at that stage that wasn't her passion. So that is also happening in our marketplace, which is really cool, and certainly some great results from there. We're getting some conversions for people on the private investor market. So across Australia and New Zealand, we're finding Trade Me and Gumtree, a lot of our BDMs are getting some results there, keeping in mind that a private investor's even beyond a cold lead, they tend to be close to a frozen lead. It's probably a good example to give, because they're so passionate of knowing that they can actually do it themselves. And they have either had a poor experience in the past, or they are very much into the fact that they know they can do it and they don't need us. So it can be a struggle, but there will be some there that you'll be able to pick up. Also, past database contacts. The amount of businesses that I've been speaking with where there are old databases that are just sitting there with ridiculous amount of opportunity. Maybe a salesperson has left the business, or we're collecting the data through Inspect Real Estate and nobody is contacting them. And if you think about how we approach our emails, how we approach our social media, we're difficult to get the attention of sometimes. So you can imagine how challenging it is to get in front of our investors. So we're finding that where you have phone numbers, anytime you have a phone number available in the business, even if they have been a client 5 years ago and they've sold their property, we've got our BDM still calling them. And sometimes it's not even for that individual that they've had an opportunity. They've actually shared a friend or family member that has needed some assistance. And that has helped quite well too. So that was in week one, some of the results that we had received there. We found that by some of the BDMs found greater success in, rather than doing a block call session for say up to an hour and a half, 2 hours, where they're wanting to hit their 10 core connections, they've actually put multiple sessions throughout the day. Because if you go out and you set the target, my goal for the day is to achieve 10 core connects. You start your day, which is always the way that happens. Then by 10:30, you go, okay, I really need to prospect today. I'm planning to prospect today. This is what I'm going to do. And then it gets to 2 o'clock and you go, right, I'm just going to bang it out for the end of the day. Your motivation levels have adjusted very quickly. So I found that even for myself in the academy now, and also our members, we're doing 2 blockout sessions where there is a forced non-negotiable requirement that you must prospect in the morning, and you have the blockout session there, and then also having it in the afternoon. And for many of them, some of them are getting it all done in the morning and they're getting great results very quickly, and others are starting it and then they know they've still got that backup plan with the blockout session in the afternoon. So they're splitting it. And that appears to be getting some good results, and their energy levels are still very strong as well. So they're not feeling demotivated because the first 15 calls they've made, they've had to leave messages and they haven't had one connection yet. They are, you know, staying strong, going, okay, well, it hasn't worked out. I've done my morning session, so now I'll start in the afternoon and have another go, which has been really good. Starting to get some strong leads through social media. So you can now, which I'm probably thinking many of you online are already doing, but this will, I guess, just reassure you that it is working. Rather than doing what you could originally do when the Facebook ads were set up, is tag by certain wordings and locations, you can now upload a CSV file and you can download your complete database and upload those contacts into your social media, and you can actually do the marketing to those emails directly now through your audiences. So if that is something that you are already doing, fantastic. If there are people that are wanting some snapshots of the directions on how that works, certainly contact me after the session, and I'm happy to send you those screenshots if you want to go through those steps and implement that into your Facebook promotion plan that you're doing. The members that have started doing it, the reason why it's working for them is two things. Majority of the people where they've got the email collected, it is their Facebook account. So that then means it's going there right in front of them when they open Facebook, and it's in front of the person who it should be. So it's going in front of their clients as well as their prospects. So this is another great way to utilize any of the past contacts as well in the business, is include them in that CSV file and upload that to your audiences as well. But also is making sure that the content that you're including has a purpose of and a need of wanting to be open and read. We have so much information on social media now, it is insane. And I get to the end of the day, and for me, I have a look and I think, okay, I really do want to take in some of this wonderful information that is on Facebook. So I'm, you know, genuinely focused on that. And I get a few minutes in and I'm just exhausted. Is anybody else feeling the same way with Facebook a bit? There's just so much. And then I can't get everything I need in Facebook, so I have to also go to LinkedIn to check that. And then I also go to Instagram and I'm jumping to all these different portals. So you do really want to make sure that what you put there has a strong attention grab so that it gives them purpose to want to open it. So whether that be through a image, whether that be through strong opening message or video that you do, it needs to be catching. So do make sure that if you are going down that path that you certainly draw that attention, and happy to share those screenshots as well for anyone that is still looking at setting that up within their business. So on the face, after that, we then had some great success in week two, where a lot of our BDMs were quite nervous about the idea of approaching developers within new development opportunities. So there might be a new stage that is open in one of the development areas, or a whole heap of houses or a whole heap of units have started going up. I found during my time as a BDM, it wasn't always just about talking to the person who is in the on-site main development home, if that makes sense. That person there maybe won't give you as much information as you need, or possibly even put you in contact with the right person. However, talking with the tradespeople on site, I found was very beneficial. Yes, a little bit cheeky, but I found that they certainly had the right person to speak with. And a lot of the time, the people that were meant to be in the display home weren't always there. So if that was the way that I had managed to time it, I would explain to them that I was interested in looking at properties for myself. And also, I do work with quite a few investors that are looking at buying and renting out properties in the area, and would love to be able to connect with the right person who was a part of the sales side of this development. So that worked quite well too. Also down to in week two, talking with people about referral relationships. So I feel as though sometimes when I talk with BDMs about creating referral relationship opportunities, there's a bit of fear around, what do I say? And are they just going to close the door? For me, out of everything that is on this list, and I'm really looking forward to going into such intense detail with it, it was one of the most powerful sources, was just genuinely talking to people and being interested in what they do, and always finding a way every day to be able to help their clients and assist their clients and find ways to give as much knowledge as possible. So it gave me the opportunity to speak with them. So if, as an example, if we look at just the professional service network group, I had the opportunities to be able to working with financial planners, accountants, brokers, solicitors. All of them would have some kind of touch point with the property investor that was within our marketplace. So as an active BDM, I worked on the Fraser Coast. It was quite typical across the Fraser Coast that you buy your first home, your parents would encourage you to do that, and then you would buy an investment property, but you would buy it on the Fraser Coast because you had to be able to drive past your home as a safety net to ensure everything was going okay. And it was quite common for many that were locals to also buy within the area. So based on the research that Jade had done at the time, we had over 50% of our investor market within the Fraser Coast area. So we knew it was really, really important for us to be able to market within the area and share that knowledge with our contacts around us, because there was ridiculous amount of opportunity. And as we started to get bigger developments, so in a suburb which is called Tanana, they had 100 properties that went up, and 50 of those were encouraged direct for investors to come in and buy as well. Our agency had the opportunity to promote to those 50 and be in front of them, and we were able to sign 37 of those properties. And I still continue to follow up the 13 that we didn't get, and there were a few that had come across in the 12 months after that. But on the spot, we had those in the very beginning, purely because of the conversations that we had with the developer on site, and the fact that we recognized that this is an opportunity that's here, but it's external. So we knew we had to speak with the right person, and there wasn't as many people buying it locally. However, we had plenty of your post-war homes that were over 100 years old that were certainly very popular to our generation as well, and a lot of people that were within the local investment market. So we did also do a lot of radio advertising and attended a lot of networking events and put on investor evenings to encourage people within the local community to come along, because we had such a strong market there. So our largest investor evening that we had had up to 100 attendees, which I feel that was an exceptional result. And I know that there are many businesses who are getting those numbers now, which is wonderful. And the way that we approached that evening was I did a short 10-minute presentation on what was happening within the investment market. We also had an accounting firm do the same as well, and also a financial planning firm share what was going on in the investment market, and one of our local solicitors share a few tips as well. So as you can imagine, these four categories, sometimes we don't come across very exciting. So it wasn't just about pumping out what we do and being very thorough in this is the way things have to be done if you're looking at going down this path. We had a bit of fun with the presentations. And then we also invited the gentleman, Sebastian, who does his 100 things tour with his bucket list. You might have seen Sebastian Terry speak before at different events. My husband and I saw him on Sunrise, and this was, it would be easily 6 years ago now, and thought, wow, this guy's got so much energy. I wonder if he'd be keen to come and be a speaker at this event. This was before he went global and went absolutely crazy with his tour, with his bucket list, because it would coincide really well with what we're trying to create. We want to create a lot of energy in the Fraser Coast, encourage people to continue to invest in all areas. Let's get this guy along. And his only request was for all of us to make a contribution to the camp quality that he's involved in, and he would be more than happy to present. Now, this guy turned up no shoes on and was one of the best presenters I have seen for a long time. And he captivated the group. Everyone that came along had a fantastic time, and we got raving results. And thankfully, we got to meet him prior to his career taking off, so we got him at a reasonable rate. All he asked was us to make the donation to Camp Quality, and if he could stay with us so they didn't have to pay for accommodation. And we offered, you know, you're welcome to stay with us. He stayed in our unit. But we can also organise your accommodation if you prefer. And he said, no, I'd like to just hang out with you guys and chat. Really cool guy. And the overall event had such a fantastic response. We were just blown away by how not just people that were investing in property, but those that were wanting to create wealth on all different levels of finance were really grateful for that knowledge and information that was shared. It didn't just happen overnight, that type of event. If you're wanting to put an investor evening, it does take months of planning and lots of follow-up as well. So, you know, utilize a product like Eventbrite, where you can use that for free and people can register, and then you can send out reminders, you can contact people, and you can call people to make sure that they're still making that commitment. Because I think we would all agree that when you put on a free event, making sure that people make that commitment and actually turn up can be difficult. If you always have a small price on it, that tends to create more commitment, but it's always nice to be able to offer a free event as well. So going on from there and working with those professional service contacts, a lot of what we can do as agents is provide them with the knowledge. Remember, we have an absolute wealth of knowledge that we can share. So providing investor tips and things that can have an impact on their properties in making the decision, whether it be around rent or around repairs and maintenance that might be needed or changes that are happening in the marketplace, it would be of great benefit, because there are still going to be people that they're dealing with that are having the same issues that you can say, we recognize that this is happening in the marketplace, and then these are the solutions that we provide at LJ Hooker, which can help and assist you throughout that process. So different tips on ways that they could approach their advertising and marketing, different ways that they can utilize, might be video or might be the content of the way that the ad is written, anything that can help assist them get the highest possible return. It's still acknowledging, you know, we're not in the best marketplace, but this is what you can do to find someone, because having a property vacant is costing you a lot more money than actually having somebody in there. So that kind of information then can be shared through those accounting contacts, your solicitors and financial planners. And so whenever they are approached with, they're doing a review, which is quite common, especially in the financial planning world, to do a review every 6 months, and they talk to their planner and say, you know what, I'm just fed up with my agent. They're doing this, this, and this. It's really frustrating. That person can then say, we highly recommend speaking with Beck from LJ Hooker. Her and her team are the experts when it comes to investment properties within that area. That's all you need them to say. They pass on the details, and then it's your turn to sell the service. It's your turn to sell the opportunities there as well. So I found that worked quite good. And also just offering to do appraisals on anything and everything. I find that some people are becoming a little bit reluctant because they're concerned about where their time is being spent. But I couldn't even count some months how many appraisals that I had completed just to be able to provide that support and service to all my referral contacts. So if you can put as much of that content out there, you will start to find that you will reap the benefits by, you know, being seen as the investment property specialist within your area. Completing prospecting calls on a sad day is working really well for many of our BDMs. Some have a bit of a fear around, oh, I don't know if I should have a, you know, call them on a sad day, it's their weekend. Well, guess what? What happens in real estate sales? You know, I think that there is still open opportunity there, especially if you're going through a database where they've had past sales experience with the business. It wouldn't be surprising for them to get a call. And a lot of our BDMs have been doing that. And this is coming into the week three now, where they are getting exceptional results, especially if they, you know, have had a conversation with one of the sales reps on a sad date. They would expect that call anyway. So never be afraid to utilize that and make sad day a work day for you. It was always a work day for me. I wouldn't necessarily be sitting in the office, but my phone would always be active and ready to answer. And I would always make myself available for listing appointments where needed and doing any follow-up. So for me, as a BDM, Saturday was always a work day, and it provided fantastic results as well. So financial rewards for referrers, I see, is a question there. Actually, there's been a couple of questions that come up. So Sarah, if I've missed any that are important questions, let me know, but I'll answer that referrer one first and keep going. We didn't actually with our professional service network because we were passing them through to each other. So there was an arrangement where I was doing it directly with one in each category for those particular ones. If that was obviously then going to spread outside of that, then they wouldn't feel as though that was an ongoing relationship thing. And then we would have to be open to talking more actual referral and a cost side. But I did deal with one planner, one accountant, one solicitor, and one mortgage broker as well. And they were also the same contacts of mine within my B&I chapter too. So I had a lot of time that was spent with them directly. And also with our tradespeople as well, where we did have the cash involvement of referral relationship was predominantly with our sales only businesses. And at the time we provided a first week's rent for any properties that were handed over from them. So they weren't obviously able to sell the property. So then it came into property management and we were able to manage it for them. Those that were coming from the sales only business, we did have one salesperson in our Maryborough office and one salesperson in our Hervey Bay office. So the initial conversation was, well, hang on, we're happy to refer the business and we understand we're getting a week's rent for that referral and that's wonderful, but we want to still have the opportunity to be able to talk with them when they're wanting to buy and sell in the future. So we handled that in two ways. We had with our newsletters that would go out, we had listed the real estate sales only businesses as referral partners that we worked in with. So they knew to come and speak with either our office or also our referral partner offices if they're looking at buying and selling. It's very difficult to be able to guarantee that a person who is a landlord of yours is going to go straight back to the person who they bought the property from. I'm sure many of you would agree it's hard enough to manage that with a property management sales business to make sure they come back to you, let alone actually sending them back to the referrer. So if there was ever a wind of opportunity, the property management team were encouraged to make me aware of that straight away. And there were notes left on the trust account as to where that referral had come from. And we did manage that reasonably well to a point, but both Jade and I had made it very clear to the individual businesses that we worked with that at the end of the day, I prospect in order to continue to have that high lead generation. It's important that you also are going to have to do the same to make sure that you can get those results. So they were quite happy to do that and get that incentive with our development that we had. So we had the one in, as I mentioned, in Tanana in Maryborough. And then the second one where we picked up properties as we expanded into the Hervey Bay market was Toogoom, which is a delightful little area just outside of Hervey Bay. And for that particular development, we were required to pay a flat rate of $500 plus GST for any referrals that were passed and secured as well. So they wanted a flat rate versus what the first week's rent was, because at the time the rental returns were around, depending on the size of those properties, $300 through to $340. Sometimes they'd score $350 a week for a four bedroom home, depending on the time of year of when they listed it. So they didn't feel that it was sufficient enough for that week's rent, and that's what they come forward to us on, was a flat fee, and we were quite happy to support that as well, which was good. So within that relationship, all of the properties that were on the plan, and they would send that through to us. I would do appraisals on every plan that was made available, and I would have a disclaimer at the end of the appraisal explaining that it is recommended that I go into the property once completed and reassess the appraisal figure to ensure that it's up with market rates of what's happening at the time, and review. It's highly unlikely it would change on a larger scale, but it's important to make sure that we do have it refined down, as rents can change from week to week, which is common in any marketplace. So that worked quite well for us and gave us first opportunity. It also gave me an opportunity to continue to have a reason and a purpose to have conversation with them regularly, because I would print them off each month, I would personally sign them, and I would take them out to the development areas and drop them off when I have found that right contact finally, and they would then hand them out to people that were looking at buying in those developments as well. So that's probably another challenge that I find that many BDMs face, is, you know, how often do I speak with my referrers? And what do I say to them? What do I talk about? What is my purpose going to be? And I think if you focus it on that, you're building a relationship and really in a lot of cases a friendship. But still to this date, I spend time with those that I did referral business with in Hervey Bay and Maryborough. And I still get quite a few of them that ask who I would recommend to use in the area. And it's quite interesting that that relationship can continue for a long time. And you will find that, you know, you will then be seen as the investment property specialist within the area. So that is what you're ultimately wanting to develop, whether it be yourself or your individual BDMs, is that they get that trademark and that label against their name so that people will come to them for all the investment property needs. Texting after a listing appointment just to thank them for the opportunity. So finding a way just to have a touch point straight after the listing appointment is fantastic, and also getting a great response. Some people, I've heard of two options. So I had one member that said that they actually put the thank you card in the letterbox as they're going to enter the property. And then I've had another that will go off, maybe drive around the block or do some research, come back and then drop it off later on onto the property. So a thank you card to be left there for the opportunity. I've also had many that have suggested texting after an appointment. So you can create short videos up to about 30 seconds is probably the largest size available for texting a video through to say thank you. They're doing generic ones, but they're also doing personalized ones as well, where they'll go back to the office, do the quick recording, save it, and then send it through on text message to thank them for the opportunity. And then many are just sticking to the normal text and sending that through as well. And then they're finding they're getting another point of engagement with them if they haven't had the opportunity to sign them on the day. I found it really fascinating as we have gone, we've done Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne with our roundtable workshops. And there was a big conversation around, do I sign the listing appointment on the spot and encourage that with the investor, or do I let them have a think about it, walk away and take the opportunity to go back to the property to have a further conversation with them? My personality and mentality is to focus at signing on the spot and to make sure that I know where I am positioned with them as to whether or not they do actually want to do business with me. I do find that by taking that time to ask the question at the very end, if they're not comfortable in signing, as to when would be next best to speak with them, when would be the best opportunity to check in with them, as I know that you're having conversations with other agents and finding out when that next point of contact would be is very important. But I'm certainly open to both angles, obviously making sure that you get the opportunity to be able to close them at some point and know when you're going to speak with them next. If you're wanting to try and close them on the day, the recommendation would be, say, this would be your agreement that you'd put in front of them, depending on the state that you're from, is you would put that down. It'd be after you've obviously had quite a good open conversation with them and explain, this is the agreement that is required to be signed by us and also to be signed by yourself in order to move forward and to advertise and promote your property. We would love to continue to do further business with you. And I know that when I go back to the office, I can utilize our Inspect Real Estate program. And there's a chance that there'll be some people that are within that program that would love to be able to view your property, whether it's 100% what they're looking for. We do have candidates ready that we'd love to be able to share this home with and see if it's what they're looking for. In order for us to move forward, we are required to have this document signed. However, I don't expect you to sign it today, but I would like to take the opportunity to be able to go through it with you and make sure that you are aware of what is required of you as an investor moving forward, whether it be that you move forward with us today, or if you're still looking at doing that research with other agents out there, that you know what you need to do, because this document is one that we all use across all agencies and it's a standard requirement regardless of who you choose to sign with. So I'd love to take that opportunity to go through with you. And I found that during my time as a BDM that not many would take the time to do that. So if they were still someone that really wanted to spend their time in doing the research, they would have had that experience with me, but not with my competitors. So it was a small thing that I was doing that I found gave me that extra competitive edge. If it's something that you want to have a go at, I'd certainly suggest it and worked very well. And then coming into week four, we've obviously had that fantastic result where we've had many people that are now starting to see, with the heavy accountability, with the weekly call from myself, they are getting some really strong results. The final one, sorry, just within week three, was the property management team are also another source of lead generation. So do encourage them to get involved and to ask questions of the investor when they're talking with them, just to make sure that they are finding out if they're wanting to purchase more properties and grow their investment portfolio. We're getting the chance to have conversations with them about their leaking tap and electrical issues, but let's have a positive conversation with them as well. And let's talk to them about, you know, would they like to buy more property and expand their current investment portfolio? Would they like to do more? And I think that that's certainly very valuable. So just going into the rent roll growth plan, we've obviously touched on many key points as part of the program that is working quite well. You will see that in week one, it's all about the preparation and making sure that you are prepared and ready to make those changes and really start to encourage those daily rituals.
So that's it for this week. Remember, if you would like to contact Tara about how you can join her 6-week rent roll growth action plan, the email address is tara@bdmacademy.com.au. I'm Samantha McLean. Catch you again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master series. To keep up with all the latest, of course, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform. See you soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.